and find the book of Isaiah. Within the past week, the media has bombarded us with the federal bailout of the housing market. The media has begun to step up their coverage and the commercials that are on TV with regards to the presidential campaign. So a lot of things are going on at this point in time and will go on until I guess a president is elected, and then we'll go from there. But the squawk this week was about Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. And I'm going to tell you a little bit about Fannie Mae. Fannie Mae was created in 1938 as part of Roosevelt's New Deal. And because of the collapse of the national housing market in the wake of the Great Depression, private lenders did not want to lend money to banks to invest in homes. It wasn't a good investment, they thought. So Fannie Mae was established in order to provide local banks with federal money to finance home mortgages. And that was done in an attempt to raise homeowners in our country so more people could have affordable housing. Initially, Fannie Mae operated like a national savings and loan bank, and it allowed local banks to charge low interest rates on mortgage for the benefit of the home buyer. I think I remember the first house that we purchased, I assumed a mortgage that my parents had. At that point, you could do such a creature. They since then got rid of that because they can't make money off you. But I think that mortgage was $200 a month. So it's extremely low interest rates. And this was done to help the American people. This led to what is known as development now of the secondary mortgage market. And within the secondary mortgage market, companies such as Fannie Mae are able to borrow money from foreign investors at low interest rates because of the financial support they receive from the United States government. It is this ability to borrow money at low interest rates that allows Fannie Mae to provide fixed interest rate mortgage with low down payments to the home buyers. Fannie Mae, in turn, makes a profit off of the difference between the interest rates he charges the homeowners and the interest rates that they pay from the foreign lenders. They may borrow money at 2%, as an example, and they may fix you a rate at 6. So there's 4% there that is a profit margin that Fannie Mae will then distribute out to run its organization, et cetera, et cetera. For the first 30 years following its inception, Fannie Mae held a veritable monopoly over the second mortgage market. In 1968, due to the physical pressures created by the Vietnam War, President Johnson privatized Fannie Mae in order to remove it from the national budget. At this point, Fannie Mae began operating as a GSE, generating profits for stockholders while enjoying the benefits of exemption of taxation and enjoying the benefits of exemption of oversight from the government, as well as the implied government backing that it was given. In order to prevent any further monopolization of the market that Fannie Mae had, a second GSE, known as Freddie Mac, was created in 1970. Currently, Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae control about 90% of the nation's secondary mortgage markets, which is a big chunk. Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac are the only two Fortune 500 companies that are not required to inform the public about any financial difficulties they may be having. You can thank our lovely politicians for this, Democrat and Republican alike. In the event there is some sort of financial collapse within either of these two companies, United States taxpayers could be held responsible for hundreds of billions of dollars in their outstanding debt. Thank you all very much for pitching in when they needed it. A recent investigation by the Justice Department and the SEC into the accounting practices of Fannie Mae revealed errors in the amount of $4.5 to $4.7 billion. If I overcharge a customer $2 because I hit 5% tax or 6-7%, they get mad at me. This is like a 4.5 to 4.7, a mere discrepancy, right? This resulted in the termination of three of the company's top executives. Doesn't say incarceration. It says termination. Ongoing investigations by Congress, particularly the House Finance Services Subcommittee that oversees the activity of the GSEs, will determine the future role of Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac in the secondary mortgage market that they dominate. However, the United States government seized control of the mortgage giants Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac on Sunday, placing the liabilities of them more than $5 trillion, that's with a T, trillion of mortgages on the back of the United States taxpayers. The Bush administration asked Congress on Saturday for the power to buy $700 billion, this is just as what is known, in toxic assets, clogging the financial system and threatening the economy as negotiations began on the largest bailout since the Great Depression. Now, with this in mind, you know, there's a lot of people who talk about a lot of things, and they do not really have the facts with regards to back up their speech. Anywhere you look, whether it's TV, radio, et cetera, newspapers, you're going to be bombarded for the weeks to come with this type of information, and it's discouraging news because the stock markets are not going to respond in a profitable way, and there's a lot of different companies that are going to be affected. A lot of people are going to be affected. Let's talk about the banking industry, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. The banking industry at the present time is safe and secure. You may go to a website to check your particular bank to see what the rating of that particular bank is. Now, these banks are regulated by the government and they're FDIC insured, but they're only FDIC insured up to $100,000. So if you have in excess of $100,000 in any given bank or more than that, you need to figure out if that bank is solid enough to keep that money there, or perhaps you better open up another account in another bank that's FDIC insured. What that means is that your money is a liquid asset and you will be able to get to it if the bank would collapse. However, if the bank did collapse, the FDIC would have to step in, and there may be a period of time and inconvenience to you, the depositor, before you do get your money. So your money is still safe as long as it's FDIC insured. It's not the same with mutual funds and stocks and bonds, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, unless those come under a treasury note, which is guaranteed. And treasury notes are guaranteed in excess of $100,000. But you can tell it's Halloween because you got all this stuff coming across and you got all the political stuff coming across. One of the things, by a revelation of God, not really, but came to me last week was, I don't have to pay attention to this junk anymore. Democrats and Republicans alike, because they're both running equally ugly ads. Because you know why? Because I already voted. And that's what I said to myself, because I took an absentee ballot ways ago and sent it, and I already did the vote. So I'm saying, why am I subjecting myself to these kind of things when I already voted? So that was my personal revelation. So I don't have to pay attention to that anymore. However, those of you that didn't vote, I would suggest perhaps you would check out a reputable Christian site and see whose candidate represents God the most and vote in light of that. But how can one not be discouraged or disturbed amidst all this calamity? You know, and here's a deeper truth is, the more involved with this stuff you are, the more of a physical response your body is going to take to it. And you're not going to sleep right, and you're going to have belly aches and everything else. So in light of all that, go to Isaiah chapter 8. You're there. Chapter 8 now. So I said to myself, self, what does the Word of God say with regards to all this trash that's going on in our nations? In Isaiah 8, verse 12 was the scripture that I started with. It says, say ye not a confederacy to all them to whom this people shall say a confederacy, neither fear ye their what, nor be afraid. Do not align yourself. Do not become in the same union. Do not become into coalition with these people who say these kind of things. Don't fear their fear. Don't be afraid. One of the things you have to understand with regards to the law of believing is that if the adversary says a lie or says a temptation long enough and you take it into your life and start to believe it, the adversary will then empower those words and that concept in your mind so it'll come to pass. Okay? That works for saint and sinner alike. So if something's out there and you continue to read about it and you continue to let it affect you and say, oh, what's going to happen if this, and what's going to happen if that, and what's going to happen to my house, and what's going to happen to my this and this and that, and you just start worrying about it and you just start bringing this upon yourself, you're going to be in a terrible mess. Not only are you doing opposite of what the scripture says, not to fear their fear, and with regards to the scripture in Matthew where it says, Jesus said, take no thought for tomorrow, because tomorrow will take care of itself. And Jesus tells us not to do that with over-anxious anxiety, then if we do just the opposite, I would say we're disobeying what he's teaching us. When tomorrow comes, you deal with tomorrow. Now, do you plan for your future? Do you have a savings? Do you do all these other wonderful things that you want to do for your own individual life? Have at it. But do it in light of the Word of God and have some brains about it. If you want to find your bank's rating with regards to where they are, okay, don't think your bank's going to send you a letter and say, we have a D-minus rating, and it would be a good idea for you to go to an A-minus or an A-plus bank. You can go to a website. It's www.thestreet.com. Okay, www.thestreet.com. If you go into there and you click on portfolios and tools, you can scroll down and then it'll say banking. Click on banking, type in your bank's name, type in your bank's location, hit enter, your bank will come up, and your bank's rating will come up. These are updated weekly. So if you got a bank that's an A or a B or a C+, you're okay. Anything other than that, you may want to think about moving. But remember, as long as you got an FDIC-insured bank, that your money's good. So you don't have to be concerned about it because the government will come in and the government will give the money. Well, what if the government runs out of money? Well, the government has the authority immediately to print $30 billion. And they have within the bill to go into Congress within a week to allocate another $40 billion. The Treasury has this power. So you're okay, all right? Where you're not so okay, that is not insured, or stocks and bonds and this sort of stuff, even mutual funds. Like I say, treasury notes, they're guaranteed. They're okay too, and they're quick, and you can do a short-term investment with regards to that. But whatever you do, don't get involved with all this collapse and the politicians. The politicians aren't going to make nothing right, okay? Just get it out of your mind. The only way this stupid world's going to become right is Jesus Christ. Now, we vote, we love, we pray for our leadership, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, but you just remember who your Lord and Savior is. It's not the Republican, Democratic, or the Beagle Party. You understand? Your Lord and Savior is Jesus Christ. Now, you got a responsibility to those parties that you belong to, and I exhort you to vote. But just let's keep things in perspective, and there's not a problem. Isaiah 51, please. Here's a wonderful verse of Scripture in verse 12. You know, this stuff is like a drug. They put a little bit out there, and before you know it, a half an hour or an hour goes by, and you're sitting in front of the thing. What's going on? You don't need to do that. You're getting a bunch of information that you're taking in that's not going to do you no good. Isaiah 51, 12 says, I am he that comforted you. Not your Fannie Mae, you know, not your money, it's God. Who art thou that thou shouldest be afraid of man that shall die? Man's going to die, and of the Son of Man it's going to be made of grass. He's not going to be left over. I'm the one who's going to take care of you. I will comfort you. Proverbs chapter 3. What a wonderful blessing to hear manifestations this morning, because I knew what I was going to teach, but nobody else knew, but God knew. And it's in here in Proverbs 3, we heard in manifestations, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. You trust in God. And you don't lean to what you think is right. You know what that means too? Listen, you don't lean to what you feel is right. Amen? You lean to him. You trust in him. But I don't feel that way. I don't care how you feel. I may not feel like standing here this morning. And God don't care about that either. This way he says, boy, I don't remember asking you how you felt about going up there to teach this morning. He said, let's get back to the point here. See, he loves me, but I don't remember asking you that question, Nick. Get going. Lean not to your own understanding. Look at Proverbs 28. Look, you get up in the morning, the alarm goes off, it doesn't matter how you feel, right? You don't go to work, guess what? You ain't getting no food at the end of the week. Whether you feel good or you feel bad, you're going to feel really bad at the end of the week, especially at the end of the month when your mortgage is due. It don't matter how you feel. You got to eat, right? Does anybody say when they get up in the morning, I don't feel good. I feel really sad. I feel really mad. I don't feel like going to work. I don't feel like, well, go ahead, do that for a while. See what happens. Bad thing, right? Why don't you question your alarm clock? You want to question God and God's word. Well, I don't feel like, this is how I, what's the word say? You don't get up and yell at your clock in the morning, do you? You may shut it off. You may hit snooze. But it comes back. And you know that there's going to be consequences if you ignore that, right? Amen. Same with the word. Proverbs 28, look at verse 25. He that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife, but he that putteth his trust in the Lord shall be made what? See? If you got a problem with your heart going on, you're going to make trouble. And that's not a good thing. But the Word of God says, he who puts his trust in the Lord shall be made fat. In other words, it'll work out for you. He that trusteth in his own heart is a what? Is a fool. Well, this is how I feel. Well, okay, fool. But whoso walketh wisely, he shall be what? Delivered. He shall be delivered. Look at Psalm 3, please. See, these are the things that we need to be putting into our minds, okay, in times especially like these. At all times, yes, but in times especially like this, these are the scriptures, these are the whole words, the words of wholeness that we need to place into our minds so that we can settle down, we can get a grip, and we can say, my God's going to supply my need. Psalm 3, verse 4 says, I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and he delivered me from all of my what? Look at Psalm 24. Let's just remember the big picture and who is actually in control and who actually owns the big picture. In Psalm 24, verse 1, it says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. It belongs to God, so he can take care of us. He founded upon the seas. He established it upon the rock, the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall be able to stand in his holy place? Here's the answer to the question. He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord and the righteousness from the God of his salvation. Now, I am aware that much of the book of Psalms is prophetic. And I'm also aware that much of the book of Psalms can be reconciled with the book of Revelation. And it is specifically addressing that administration. But I'm also aware that in the book of Psalms, any verse or verses that does not contradict the present administration to which we live in is applicable, okay, even though it is not written to us. For instance, where it says God is love, it doesn't have to be written in the grace administration to say God is love. He's my God, he's my Father, he loves me, and I can learn from that scripture. The Ten Commandments that are put on the wall back there are not written to us in the grace administration. But that doesn't mean we shouldn't obey them and we shouldn't know them and apply them in our lives, those that we can apply. We shouldn't murder people, right? We shouldn't cheat on people. We shouldn't lie. We shouldn't take the Lord's, et cetera, et cetera. These are good things. They're still applicable. We were in Psalm 3 or Psalm 4. Look at Psalm 3. Remember Psalm 23, that shepherd psalm? Remember verse 5 said, it says, thou preparest a table for me in the presence of my enemies. God's going to feed you. He'll prepare a table for you in the presence of your enemies. He'll take care of you. In Psalm 3, verse 4, it says, I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. I laid me down and slept. I awake, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord, save me. O my God, for thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone, thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people. Psalm 56 says, I have put my trust in God. I will not be afraid what man can do to me. I have made vows unto you. Proverbs 3. In Proverbs 3, verse 24, the scripture reads, "When thou layest down, thou shalt not be afraid." Thou lay down, you're going to go to sleep, and your sleep is going to be sweet. Proverbs 3, 24, verse 25. "Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it comes. For the Lord shall be thy confidence, and shall keep thy foot from being taken. Withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it's in your power to do it." So you bless people, right? Now, what I would like to do is make sure I don't get myself confused here, which is not hard for me to do. I'm going to give you some scriptures. Okay? The first page is a full page of scriptures. Second page is about three-quarter full. All right? Now, what I would like you to do, is there's not enough for everybody, is to take one of the first page and take one of the second page. And make sure that you're close enough to somebody that you can see these scriptures that I'm going to give you here. Okay. Are you there? Just pass them out. Okay. Now, I'm going to go to Psalm 25, but I don't want you to go to Psalm 25. What I want you to do is I want you to look at the scriptures I've given you. And what I want you to do is this. I'm going to go through Psalm 25 verse by verse. And when I get to the end of Psalm 25, you're going to be probably at Isaiah. That's on the second page. But when I read to you a verse from Psalm 25, I'm going to stop. And then I want you to respond to my reading. I want you to respond to the reading of God's Word. And I want you to respond to the reading of God's Word in unison, and I want you to start with the very first verse on the full page of verses. You got that? All right. Psalm 25, verse 1. It says, "Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul." What's your verse saying? Here. I'll get a copy of what I gave you just in front of me. So make sure you're not cheating. Here it is here. See, I told you it's not easy to confuse me. All right. All right. Let's do it again, and let's try and do it in unison. "Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul."
The Lord is nigh unto them that are of broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit.
O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none of them that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause.
Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies.
Show me thy ways, O Lord, teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth, and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day.
O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man who trusts in thee.
Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindness, for they have been ever of old. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to thy mercy, remember me, for thy goodness' sake, O Lord.
It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes.
Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore will he teach sinners in the way. The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way.
Thou art my God, and I will praise thee. Thou art my God, I will exalt thee.
Isn't that a wonderful scripture? Read it again.
Thou art my God, I will
praise thee. Thou art my God, I will exalt thee. Amen. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth, unto as such his covenant and to his testimonies.
O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth.
For thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon mine iniquity, for it is great.
I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all thy marvelous works.
What man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose.
Preserve me, O God, for in thee do I put my trust.
His soul shall dwell at ease, and his seed shall inherit the earth.
I have called upon thee, for thou wilt hear me, O God. Incline thine ear unto me, and hear my speech.
The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant.
The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower.
He's pretty good, God, huh? He's wonderful. Mine eyes are ever towards the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net.
But be not thou far from me, O Lord, O my strength, haste and help me.
Hurry up, come help me, God. Turn thee unto me, and have mercy upon me, for I am desolate and afflicted.
As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him.
The troubles of my heart are enlarged. O bring thou me out of my distress.
Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy.
Look upon my affliction and my pain, and forgive my sins. Consider my enemies, for they are many, and they hate me with cruel hatred.
O fear the Lord, ye saints, for there is no want to them that fear him.
Keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in thee. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on thee. You think God's trying to tell you something? Look at the next one, Psalm 27:1. Let's read it together. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. For whom shall I be afraid? Look at the next one. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. See? God won't hold back. If we will endeavor to walk the way that would please him, not please ourselves, and God will bless us. Verse 12 of Psalm 84 says, O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that what? Trust in thee. Look at Psalm 3:3. Let's read it together. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter up of my head. Ever get yourself to a place where you just want to quit? You just want to bow down your head and say, I've had it? That's when you got to go to God. Remember David, when he was come back to Ziklag? That's how he fell. The city was burnt. They took his wife. They took the kids. They took everything. The guys wanted to stone him and kill him. But it says David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And then he got some information. And as he began to walk, not knowing where he was going, but as he began to walk in faith, one step led to another, led to another, led to another, which ultimately ended in the deliverance. And he got everything back. Everything back. Psalm 119, verse 114. Thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word. You got to hope in the word. You can be hoping in Wall Street, Dow Jones. Who is Dow? I don't know that guy. Who is he anyway? Okay? Dow Jones. I've worked all my life without being affected, et cetera, from these birds. And for the most part, the middle class working people aren't going to be affected. They'll be affected with taxes, et cetera. But people who get up and go to work every day and come home every day and do an honest day's work for an honest whatever, you know what? There's still going to be a job for those people. And God's going to provide for them. And what's not there, God will provide something better. We read, he sets a table in the midst of my enemies. Right? He fed the hard-hearted, stubborn Israelites for 40 years. They weren't even his children by birth. He chose them, we're children by seed. Will he not do at least as good for us as we trust in him? Verse 8 of Psalm 34. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in him. And the last scripture on the page, Psalm 62:8. Trust in him at how many times? All times. Ye people, pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. There you go. When you get to the place when you're ready to do that, he's always there. When you get to the place that you're ready to trust him in all times, no matter what situation you are in your life, no matter what season you are at in your life, whether you're young or old, when you get to the place when you're ready to trust God in that situation, in that season, and you pour out your heart before him, he will be a refuge to you. We're not to lean to our own understanding. It says that the person who walks in light of his own understanding is a what? A fool. Don't be foolish. Because when we walk in light of what we think or what we feel, we ultimately hurt ourselves. Because we do not place ourselves in a position where God can reach and bless us and help us. And for each one of us, to get to that place is different. For each one of us, to get to that place where we can pour our heart out before God, where God can be our refuge, the road is different because we choose to take a different path. Some of us have to be angry and hold a grudge for X amount of years before we're willing to let it go till we can get to the place where God can begin to work in us. Some of us have to hold on to our pride and our ego for X amount of years before we finally get to the place where we're willing to consider, well, maybe I don't know everything. Okay? Listen. You got a sad testimony to your life if you go to any church, including this fellowship, if you go to any church or fellowship that is endeavoring to present the gospel, and when you go there, your whole intention is to see how I can catch the preacher in a mistake. Let me help you out. Don't do that, because I'm going to make a mistake before I walk, before I even say God bless you. So just accept that. Now you're over that hump, and let's get on to the gospel. Okay? Don't be so intent on looking at me and what I wear and how I talk. Everybody knows I'm a goof and I can't speak right. That's no mystery. I got no problem with that. But don't be let the adversary be so intent on looking at me and ready to crucify me that you miss this. This is what you're here for. My daughter could stand up here and read this, and if you had a heart to be blessed, you could be blessed, and you may keep that if you want. But these are wonderful scriptures to hold on to in times of trouble. And say ye not a confederacy to those other birds. I don't care if the whole world's saying X and X and X and X and X. It doesn't matter. All that does is allow you to have your light bright shine more brightly, right? The darker the night, the brighter you shine. So don't do stupid things with your money, with your investments. If you need to get some information, get some information. Make informed decisions. But God will still produce for you, and God will take care of you. Okay? And that's what we got to put in our minds. Not all this other junk. Don't let the TV program your day. And I'll tell you one last thing before I say amen. A lot of you guys can't figure this out yet. But by the end of your day, this is what you're doing. And you just can't figure out why you're so tired. You just can't figure out why your mind is not at ease. You can't figure out why you don't feel good. You can't figure out anything. I'm going to give you the answer to why you can't figure it out. The reason why you can't figure it out is because the junk that you're looking at and the junk that you're reading is affecting you on the inside. That's why you can't figure it out. Stop putting that junk in here. Stop putting that junk in here. Start putting this in here. And I'll guarantee you, you'll have a better night's sleep. I'll guarantee you, your food will taste better. Some of you might lose a couple pounds. I don't know if I can guarantee you that. I threw that part in. It sounded good, though. All right, let's pray. Father, thanks for your word. Thanks for your love. Thanks that you will set a table for us in the presence of our enemies. In the name of our Lord Jesus. And they all said,
Amen.
Amen. Okay, God.